There's a verse in Ecclesiastes in chapter 10. Do you remember 10:10? That is, if the axe is dull, then you have to exert more strength. And that's something we must bear in mind at all times. Wisdom gives us success. We need to pursue after wisdom. See another verse in Ecclesiastes chapter
8.
A man's wisdom illumines him and causes his stern face to beam. Verse 1, sorry, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1, the last part. So, it goes on to, in the Message Bible, it says, wisdom gives gentleness to a person's words and manners. The wiser you are, the more gentle you become. That's what we are to grow in. We may hold strong convictions, but we have to hold them with gentleness as we grow older.
And
I want to show you one more verse in chapter 9. Verse 8. Let your clothes be white all the time, and let not oil be lacking on your head. That's a great verse to bear in mind. Always pure in our character.
And
always anointed in our ministry. We may have had oil on our head some time ago, but it may not be there today. We may have been pure some time ago, but we're not pure today. Let your clothes always be white, and let oil be lacking on your head. I want you to turn now to Hebrews in chapter 11. In Hebrews 11, we have the example of these great men in the Old Covenant. And these men all exercised faith. But their faith was all related to external activities. We know that in the New Testament, the righteous are to live by faith. So at the end of chapter 11, it says here, verse 39, they all gained approval through their faith. And without faith, chapter 11, verse 6, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God without faith. You can gain God's approval only through faith. But even though they gained God's approval, they did not receive what was promised, because Jesus had not died and risen and ascended. They had faith, but they couldn't get it because that something else was to come only in the future.
அவர்களுக்கு விசுவாசம் இருந்தது ஆனாலும் பெற்றுக் கொள்ள முடியவில்லை ஏனென்றால் எதிர்காலத்தில் ஏதோ ஒரு காரியம் நடைபெற வேண்டியிருந்தது.
And then it says God has provided something better for us.
அதற்கு பிறகு கீழே பார்க்கிறோம் தேவன் விசேஷித்த நன்மையான ஒன்றை தேவன் நமக்கு முன்னே
This is what a lot of Christians haven't understood.
அநேக கிறிஸ்தவர்களுக்கு இதுதான் விளங்கவில்லை.
That all these things listed in chapter 11 God has provided something better.
11 ஆம் அதிகாரத்திலே பட்டியலிட்ட இந்த காரியங்கள் எல்லாவற்றை காட்டிலும் விசேஷித்த நன்மையானவர்களை
தேவன் நமக்கு நியமித்திருக்கிறார்.
இவர்கள் எல்லாம் பெரிய மனிதர்கள்.
Great men of faith, the many things we can learn from them.
இவர்களிலிருந்து கற்றுக்கொள்ளக்கூடிய பல காரியங்கள் உண்டு. இவர்கள் விசுவாச புருஷர்களாக இருந்தார்கள்.
But when it comes to the main thing in the new covenant, we cannot learn it from them.
ஆனால் புதிய ஏற்பாட்டினுடைய விசேஷித்த காரியத்துக்கு வரும்பொழுது இவர்களிடத்திலிருந்து நாம் கற்றுக்கொள்ள முடியாது.
I cannot learn from any of these people how to live an overcoming life.
ஜெயமுழுகிற வாழ்க்கை வாழ்வது எப்படி என்று இந்த மக்களிடத்தில் ஒருவரிடத்திலிருந்தும் கற்றுக்கொள்ள முடியாது.
None of these people can help me to overcome sin.
பாவத்தை மேற்கொள்வதற்கு இவர்கள் ஒருவருமே எனக்கு உதவி செய்ய முடியாது.
None of these people can tell me how I can partake of God's nature.
தேவனுடைய சுபாவத்தில் எப்படி பங்கு பெறுவது என்பதை குறித்து இவர்கள் சொல்ல முடியாது.
That is the better thing which God has provided for us.
இதைத்தான் விசேஷித்த காரியமாக தேவன் நமக்கு என்று வைத்திருக்கிறார்.
So we have to say that chapter 12 verses 1 to 4 is like the conclusion of chapter 11.
11th adhigaram mudivaga 12th adhigaram 1 irundhu 4 vasanam varai irukkirathu endru solla.
You know that these chapters were made by men, not by God. Chapter divisions,
indha adhigaramaga pirithadalla manidhargal dhan vasathikaga pirithirukkar.
So you have to read it like this: by faith Abel, by faith Noah,
avisvathrale neema Abel, viswasathinale Noah, and
by faith Abraham and all these people,
viswasathrale Abraham endru ivargal ellari vasithu vittu.
And then it says God has provided something better.
Devan visheshitha ondrai neemithirukkar.
And then it says by faith Jesus,
viswasathrale Yesu endru vasikkavendum.
That's the last in the list.
Idhudhan indha pattiyile irukkudiya kadaisi nabar.
That's the one we are called to follow.
அவரைத்தான் நாம் பின்பற்ற முடியாக அழைக்கப்பட்டது.
He says, now let us run the race.
இப்பொழுது நாம் இந்த ஓட்டத்தை ஓடுவோம்.
With all these witnesses surrounding us, chapter 12 verse 1.
12th அதிகாரம் 1st வசனத்திலே இவ்வளவு திரளான சாட்சிகள் நம்மை சூழ்ந்து கொண்டிருக்கு.
Who are these witnesses?
இந்த சாட்சிகள் யார்?
Right from Abel down to the last person mentioned in chapter 11.
ஆபேலில் ஆரம்பித்து 11th அதிகாரம் கடைசி நபரை வரைக்கும்.
These all ran their earthly race. Now they are sitting in the stadium.
இவரெல்லார் பூமிக்குரிய ஓட்டத்தை ஓடிவிட்டு இப்பொழுது இந்த அரங்கத்தில் உட்கார்ந்து கொண்டிருக்கிறார்கள்.
But they could never run what we are running.
நாம் ஓடுகிற ஓட்டத்தை அவர்களால் ஓட முடியவில்லை.
We are running a race that none of them could run.
மற்ற யாருமே ஓட முடியாத ஒரு ஓட்டத்தை நாம் இப்பொழுது ஓடிக் கொண்டிருக்கிறோம்.
That race Jesus ran.
அந்த ஓட்டத்தை இயேசு ஓடினார்.
As our forerunner.
நம்முடைய முன்மாதிரியாக.
And these witnesses who could never run that race.
இந்த சாட்சிகள் எல்லாரும் ஒரு காலம் இந்த ஓட்டத்தை ஓட
முடியவில்லை. Like people in the stadium encouraging us.
அங்கே அரங்கத்தில் இருந்து நம்மை உற்சாகப்படுத்தக்கூடிய மக்களை கூட அவர்கள் இருக்கிறார்கள்.
But we can't follow them because they never ran this race.
அவர்கள் இந்த ஓட்டத்தை ஓடாதபடினாலே நாம் அவர்களை பின்பற்ற முடியாது.
We are running a race which none of them ran.
யாருமே ஓட முடியாத ஓடாத ஒரு ஓட்டத்தை தான் நாம் ஓடிக்கோம்.
We can learn certain good points from all of them.
இவர்கள் எல்லாரிடத்திலிருந்தும் ஒரு ஒரு குறிப்பை நல்ல குறிப்பை கற்றுக்கொள்ளலாம்.
Sure, we can learn a lot of things from Moses and even from David. And certainly from Elijah and John the Baptist, what a lot we can learn. But when it comes to running this race, these folks can't help us. If I go to Elijah and say, Elijah, can you tell me how never to get discouraged? He says, sorry, I can't tell you that.
நான் சொல்ல முடியாது.
You want to know how to bring fire down from heaven? I'll tell you that.
வானத்திலிருந்து அக்கினி எப்படி கொண்டு வருது என்று சொன்னால் நான் அதை சொல்லுவேன் என்று சொல்வார்.
And how to kill 450 prophets of the sword? Come, I'll show you how to do that.
பட்டத்தை வைத்து 450 பாகாலின் தீர்க்கதரிசிகளை கொல்வது எப்படி என்று சொல்ல கேட்டார்.
But how to overcome discouragement and all, don't ask me.
சோதனை அதிகரித்து மேற்கொள்வது எப்படி என்று கேட்டால் அதெல்லாம் கேட்காதீர்கள்.
That you have to go to Jesus.
அதற்கு இயேசுவிடத்திற்கு தான் போக வேண்டும்.
Or you ask David. David, you're a man after God's own heart. Can you tell me how to overcome the lust of the eyes? I have a tremendous problem with this. He'll say, brother, don't embarrass me, please. Such
questions.
You have to go to Jesus for that.
Yes, sir, they go.
So it's like that with all these people.
இந்த எல்லா மக்களிடத்திலும் இப்படி தான் இருக்கிறது.
They didn't have the spirit within.
ஆவி இல்லை உள்ளே.
But now Jesus is our example.
இப்போ இயேசுவே நமக்கு முன்னோடி.
And that's why we have to say that it the main message of the New Testament is that we can walk as Jesus walked.
புதிய ஏற்பாட்டில் பிரதானமான செய்தி என்னவென்றால் இயேசு நடந்து போலவே நாம் நடக்க முடியும்.
As Jesus is, so are we in this world.
இயேசு இருக்கிறது போலவே நாமும் இந்த உலகத்திலே இருக்கிறோம்.
And that should be our goal. It's like a Mount Everest that I'm going to climb.
இதுதான் நம்முடைய இலக்காக இருக்கிறது. இது எவரெஸ்ட் உச்சியை அடைவது.
And I may never reach the top.
நான் ஒரு காலம் உச்சி அடையாமல் இருக்கலாம்.
I'll be like him only when he comes.
அவர் வரும்போது மட்டுமே அவரை போல மாறுவேன்.
But I'm not going to sit at the bottom and say, well, I'll never be able to reach that.
அதை அடைய முடியாது என்று சொல்லி நான் அடியிலே உட்கார்ந்து விட மாட்டேன்.
I'm going to press on and get as far as possible up this mountain. Cleanse myself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit.
மாம்சத்திலும் ஆவியிலும் உண்டான எல்லா அசுத்தியும் நீங்க என்னை சுத்திகரித்துக் கொண்டு
perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
பரிசுத்தத்தை தேவ பயத்தோடு கூட பூரணப்படுத்துவேன்.
Keeping Jesus as my example.
இயேசுவை முன்னோடியாக வைத்துக்
And he is the author and perfecter of my faith.
அவர்தான் என்னுடைய விசுவாசத்தை துவக்குகிறவர் முடிக்கிறவர்.
You know what author means?
துவக்குகிறவர் என்றால் என்ன தெரியுமா?
If you take a book and say so and so is the author.
ஒரு புத்தகத்தை எடுத்து இவர் தான் இந்த புத்தகத்தை ஆக்கியோ.
That means he is the one who wrote it.
அவர்தான் இந்த புத்தகத்தை எழுதினவர்.
I thank God for that.
அதற்காக தேவனுக்கு நன்றி செலுத்துகிறேன்.
If Jesus is the author of my faith, then he is going to write faith in my heart.
என்னுடைய விசுவாசத்தின் துவக்கம் அல்லது ஆக்கியோ இயேசு என்று சொன்னால் அவர்தான் தன்னுடைய விசுவாசத்தை உள்ளத்தில் எழுத போகிறார்.
I have to be open to receive even that.
அதையும் பெற்றுக்கொள்வதற்கு நான் திறந்த இருதயம் உடையவனாக இருக்க வேண்டும்.
You know, very often we try to work up faith.
அடிக்கடி நாம் விசுவாசத்தை நாமாவே உண்டாக்க பார்க்கிறோம்.
You know, that's you know we read so many Pentecostal magazines and listened to so many messages, we think if I get faith for something I'll get it.
அனேக பெந்தெகோஸ்தே பத்திரிகைகளை வாசித்து நிமித்தமாக கேட்டது நிமித்தமாக நான் எப்படியாவது விசுவாசம் கொண்டால் உடனே பெற்றுக்கொள்ளலாம் என்று
நினைக்கிறோம். No, I can only, it says according to the proportion of my faith I can prophesy.
என்னுடைய விசுவாச அளவின்படியே நான் தீர்க்கதரிசனம் உரைக்க வேண்டும் என்று சொல்லியிருக்கிறது.
According as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith.
தேவன் ஒவ்வொருவருடையதையும் ஒவ்வொரு விசுவாச அளவின்படி இடைவிடுகிறார்.
I can only receive as much as I as the Lord writes faith in me.
ஆக என்ன அளவுக்கு தேவ இயேசு ஆண்டவர் என்னை விசுவாசம் எழுதுகிறாரோ அந்த அளவுக்கு தான்
நான் I have to be open.
நான்
God's are not asking me to produce faith.
என்னிடத்தில் விசுவாசம் உண்டாக்கு என்று ஆண்டவர் சொல்லவில்லை.
He is asking me to be open so that he can write faith in me.
விசுவாசத்தை உள்ளே எழுதும்படியாய் நீ திறந்த மனதுடையவனாய் இருந்து சொல்லுங்கள்.
That's what he was seeking to do in his disciples all the time.
எல்லா நேரங்களிலும் தம்முடைய சீஷர்களுக்கு இந்த பணியை தான் செய்ய
He was always trying to write faith in their heart is the author of faith.
விசுவாசத்தை துவக்குகிறாய் இருந்து விசுவாசத்தை சீஷர்களுக்கு எழுத எப்பொழுதும் முயற்சித்தார்.
You know words like how many of you will give a snake to your son?
உங்கள் எத்தனை பேர் உங்கள் பிள்ளைகளுக்கு பாம்பை கொடுப்பீர்கள்?
Or a scorpion.
அல்லது தேளை கொடுப்பீர்கள்?
Or a stone.
அல்லது கல்லை கொடுப்பீர்கள்?
You will give bread. You'll give bread. You'll give fish.
மீனை கொடுப்பீர்கள்.
What is it? How much more your heavenly father will give?
உடைய பரலோக தகப்பன் அதை அதிக நல்ல ஈவுகளை கொடுப்பது அதிக நிச்சயமல்லவா?
What was he trying to write into their hearts?
அவர் அந்த இடத்துல இருதயத்தில் என்ன எழுத முயற்சிக்கிறார்? விசுவாசம்.
God will give you.
தேவன் கொடுப்பார்.
Then another time he said.
இன்னொரு முறை சொன்னார்.
I'll tell you a story he said of a widow who was being oppressed by the neighbor.
ஒரு விதவை தன்னுடைய அயலகத்தானாலே நெருக்கப்பட்டுக் கொண்டிருந்தாள்.
That neighbor saw that this poor helpless widow and kept on encroaching into her property and she almost lost all her property.
அந்த அயலகத்தான் இந்த விதவையின் சொத்தை கொஞ்சம் கொஞ்சமாக எடுத்து இப்போது எல்லாவற்றையுமே இந்த விதவை இழந்து விட்டாள்.
And she had I got to go to the judge. This fellow will take over everything now.
எல்லாவற்றையும் எடுத்துக் கொள்வானே என்று சொல்லி அவள் நீதிமன்றத்தில்
சொல்லுகிறார். She said, I went to the judge and said, I don't want to ask anybody else's problem, but give me back mine. My enemy is oppressing me.
என்னுடைய சத்துருக்களை நெருக்குகிறாள். எனக்கு உரியது எனக்கு தாரும் என்று அவள் நீதிமன்றத்தில்
I don't want somebody else's property.
வேறொருடைய சொத்தை எனக்கு
தேவை. I want my own. Which this enemy has taken.
இந்த விரோதி என்ன எடுத்துக்கொண்டு
The judge said, no, I don't have time to listen to you.
எனக்கு கவனிக்க நேரமில்லை என்று
He went back and back and back and back and she went, this helpless widow.
இந்த உதவியற்ற உதவி மீண்டுமா 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 இந்த நியாயாதிபதியிடத்தில் சென்றாள்.
And she got what she wanted.
தனக்கு என்ன தேவையோ அதை பெற்றுக்கொண்டாள்.
And then Jesus said.
அதுக்கு பிறகு இயேசு சொன்னார்.
Listen to what this unrighteous judge who doesn't fear God or man said.
கர்த்தருக்கு மனிதருக்கு பயப்படாத அநீதியுள்ள நியாயாதிபதி செய்ததை பாருங்கள்.
And what about your father?
தகப்பன் பற்றி என்ன?
You think he won't answer you if you go to him?
அவரிடத்திலே போனால் உங்களுக்கு பதில்
சொல்லுவார். God the devil has taken over property that should belong to you.
ஆண்டவரே உமக்கு சொந்தமான இந்த சொத்தை எல்லாம் பிசாசு எடுத்துக்கொண்டான்.
My eyes, my tongue, my heart, my passions, the devil is ruling in so many areas.
ஆண்டவரே என்னுடைய கண்கள், என்னுடைய நாக்கு, என்னுடைய இதயம், என்னுடைய வாஞ்சை பல பகுதிகளை பிசாசு ஆளுகிறான்.
My home, my church.
என்னுடைய குடும்பம், என்னுடைய சபை.
I want to get it back.
எனக்கு இது மீண்டும் வேண்டும் ஆண்டவரே.
No reply.
பதிலே இல்லையா?
Okay, I'll go back again.
மீண்டும் நான் போவேன்.
How much more your heavenly father will answer speedily those who cry to him day and night.
சமயலோக்கி இரவும் பகலும் கூப்பிடுகிறவருடைய விஷயத்திலே தேவன் எவ்வளவு சீக்கிரத்திலே அவர்களுக்கு நியாயம் செய்வார்.
But at the end of that in Luke 18 verse 7 he said, but will the Son of Man find faith on the earth like that when I come? Will he find people who will say, yes, the Lord will give me back everything the devil's taken away? In the last days, will he find faith like that? Let's ask ourselves. Hasn't the devil taken areas in your life? What about your fellowship with some of your fellow elders? The devil has come right in. And you're sitting back. If your neighbor had encroached one foot into your property, you would be going to court. But the devil has got between you and your wife and you sit quietly. The devil's got a hold of some of your children, you sit quietly.
It's
come between you and your fellow elders and you sit quietly.
He's
come into your church and done things, you sit quietly. Young people are not becoming wholehearted, the devil's got a hold of some of them, you sit quietly. Why should God do anything for those who don't cry unto Him day and night? The fact that they don't cry day and night is the proof that they have no faith. What was Jesus trying to write into the hearts of His disciples? Look at this widow. She was absolutely convinced that this judge would have to do something because I'm going to pester him day and night. I'm going to go and knock at his door at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's obvious judges those days didn't have security guards and all, so this widow could go.
So
she could really go and disturb him all odd times of the day and night and everything. This fellow couldn't sleep properly. He said, okay, I'll do it. And your heavenly Father, He's just waiting for people who will call out to Him and say, Lord, give back to me the end what the enemy has taken. Do you remember how when Pharaoh told Moses, okay, all you grown up men, go, leave your children here. And Moses said, not only our children, not only our cows, even one hoof of that cow we will not leave behind here. What about you? You leave some of your children in Egypt? I pray, I have prayed for the church here in Bangalore that not one single child born into this church will ever go to hell.
இந்த சபையில நான் இருக்கும்போது இந்த சபையில பிறந்த ஒவ்வொரு குழந்தையும் கண்டிப்பாக பரலோகத்துக்கு போக வேண்டும்.
Every one of them must be saved.
ஒவ்வொரு ரட்சிக்கப்பட வேண்டும் என்று ஜெபித்திருக்கிறேன்.
And we've seen that happen one after the other.
அது ஒன்றன்பின் ஒன்றாக நடக்கிறதை பார்த்திருக்கிறோம்.
Not one child in your local church should be lost.
உங்கள் ஸ்தல சபையில இருக்கக்கூடிய ஒரு குழந்தையாகவும் அது கெட்டு போய்விடக்கூடாது.
That is God's will. Not one of them should be lost.
அது ஒருவராயினும் கெட்டு போய்விடக்கூடாது.
But we must pray to God day and night. Lord, give back what the enemy has taken. Will the Son of Man find such faith?
So,
the Lord said, for example, don't be anxious about food and clothing and all that. He said, look at the birds. They have no bank account, they have no net and store, nothing, but God provides for them. How many millions of birds there are, even in your hometown? When was the last time you saw a dead bird on the road? You know, I'm trying to think how many dead birds I've seen in 66 years on the roads. Maybe 5 or 10 in my whole life. How do these millions of birds get food?
இப்படி கோழிகளுக்கான பறவைகளுக்கு எப்படி ஆதாரம் கிடைக்கிறது?
They need food in order to live. They cannot live without food.
ஆதாரம் இல்லாமல் அவர்கள் வாழவே முடியாது. கொஞ்சமாவது ஆதாரம் தேவை.
And they are, people are not so generous to just throw around food for them to eat.
அவர்களுக்கு சாப்பிடுவதற்காக சாப்பாட்டை இறைக்கக்கூடிய அளவுக்கு
they have to
மனதை உடையவர்கள் இல்லை.
They have to go searching. And when they have little children, they have to go searching for food for the little children who can't fly.
பறக்க முடியாத தன்னை சின்ன சிட்டுக்குருவிகளுக்கு ஆகாரம் கொடுக்க முடியாத அவைகள் பறந்து ஆகாரத்தை தேடி போகும்.
It's absolutely amazing how these birds don't die of starvation.
இந்த பறவைகள் பசி பட்டினிகளை சாகாமல் இருப்பது ஆச்சரியமா இருக்கிறது.
Absolutely amazing.
வியப்பாக இருக்கிறது.
I'm amazed how so many elephants survive in the wilderness. They eat tons every day.
ஒவ்வொரு நாளும் டன் கணக்காக சாப்பாடு சாப்பிடுகிறது யானைகள். எத்தனை யானைகள் காடுகளில் எப்படி சமாளிக்கிறது என்று எனக்கு புரியவில்லை.
One would have thought all the elephant population in the world should have died out by now. One would have thought all the elephant population should have died by now.
அப்படி எண்ணியிருந்தால் இவ்வளவு நாட்களுக்குள்ளாக எல்லா யானைகளும் காடுகளில் செத்துருக்கும்.
But they are there. I don't know how many tons lions eat, but they're also in plenty. They don't seem to be running short.
எவ்வளவோ சிங்கங்கள் இருக்கிறது, எவ்வளவோ தன்கடக்காக சாப்பாடு சாப்பிட்டுக் கொண்டிருக்கிறது.
It's amazing.
வியப்பாக இருக்கிறது.
And Jesus said, why you fellows afraid?
You
are of more value than many sparrows. What was he trying to do in all this? He was the author of faith. Trust God. Trust him. And in spite of all this, we find multitudes of believers who do not know what it is to live by faith. And if we don't have faith that God is going to provide all our need, we are not going to be able to communicate that to others. Jesus is the author of faith. And it says he is the perfecter of that faith. Two things mentioned in Hebrews 12, the author and perfecter. Because you and I know when faith begins in our heart, it's like a little baby.
நம்முடைய உள்ளத்தில் விசுவாசம் ஆரம்பிக்கும் பொழுது அது ஒரு குழந்தையை போல ஆரம்பிக்கிறது.
I know how it was in my heart. My faith was like a premature baby.
என்னுடைய உள்ளத்தில் பிறந்த விசுவாசத்தை நான் அறிந்திருக்கிறேன். அது காலத்துக்கு முன்னாக பிறந்த குழந்தையை போல இருக்கிறது.
It had to be on the incubator for a long time before it even started breathing.
அது மூச்சு சுவாசிப்பதற்கு முன்பதாக எவ்வளவோ நாட்கள் அது இன்குபேட்டர்
But the doctor took care of it.
ஆனால் டாக்டர் அதை பொருட்படுத்திக் கொண்டார்.
It wasn't me, it was Jesus.
நான் அல்ல, இயேசு அதை பொருட்படுத்திக் கொண்டார்.
And it grew.
வளர்ந்தது.
I began to have faith that God, Jesus can baptize me in the Holy Spirit.
இயேசுவினை பரிசுத்தவரால் அபிஷேகம் பண்ண முடியும் என்கிற விசுவாசம் கொண்டவனாய் மாறினேன்.
I lacked that faith. That's why it took so long.
அந்த விசுவாசத்தை இழந்தவனாய் இருந்த நாகரிகம் எவ்வளவோ நாட்கள் பிடித்தது.
I knew I needed it. I knew that Jesus was the baptizer in the Holy Spirit.
எனக்கு அது தேவை என்று அறிந்திருந்தேன். இயேசுதான் பரிசுத்தவரால் அபிஷேகிக்கிறவர் என்பதை அறிந்திருந்தேன்.
But I read so many different books with so many different theologies, I was thoroughly confused. Yeah, when you're pursuing something and you want to read about the other side, the other view on it, that's the best way to be confused.
நீங்கள் ஒன்றை தேடிக் கொண்டிருக்கிறீர்கள், இதனுடைய மறுபகத்தை படிக்க அறிய வேண்டும் என்று சொல்லி பல புத்தகங்களை படிக்கும் பொழுது குழப்பமடைவதற்குதான் வழி.
Go to the scriptures.
வேதத்துக்கு போங்கள்.
And one day faith was born.
ஒரு நாளிலே விசுவாசம்.
I don't know how.
எப்படி என்று தெரியவில்லை.
But suddenly faith was born. Lord, I believe.
ஆண்டவரே, நான் விசுவாசிக்கிறேன். விசுவாசம்.
You have filled me.
நீர் என்னை நிரப்பினீர்.
And I just opened my heart and said, thank you, Lord.
என் இதயத்தை திறந்து ஆண்டவரே உமக்கு நன்றி என்று சொன்னேன்.
And before I knew it, I was speaking in tongues and I was surprised.
நான் அறியதற்கு முன்பதாகவே அதிகமாக பேசிக் கொண்டே இருந்தேன். நான் ஆச்சரியப்பட்டு போனேன்.
And I stopped and again I found myself speaking in tongues.
I didn't
seek it. Nobody told me to do it. I wasn't in any meeting. I was in my house. Just praying with a brother. But I found faith was born. And it made all the difference in my life. Oh, if I didn't have faith for some of these things, what a different life my life would have been.
இப்பதமான காரியங்களுக்கு மட்டும் நான் என்னிடத்தில் விசுவாசம் இல்லை என்று
சொன்னால்
வாழ்க்கை எவ்வளவு வித்தியாசமானதாக இருந்திருக்கும்.
If I didn't have faith that God would equip me for everything he called me to.
எனக்கு எது எதற்கெல்லாம் தேவன் அழைத்தாரோ அதற்கெல்லாம் தேவன் எனக்கு தகுதி தருவார் என்று நான் நம்பாமல் இருந்தால் எப்படி நான் ஊழியம் செய்ய முடியும்?
See, Paul once made a statement like this.
பவுல் ஒரு முறை இப்படி ஒரு காரியத்தை சொன்னார்.
In Romans 15.
ரோமர் 15 ஆம் அதிகாரம்.
chapter 15 and verse 28, he says the last part, I'll come to you in Rome by way of you, to Spain, and then I'll go to Spain.
Roma 15th adhyayam 28th vasanathil solugirar, naan Romavilirundhu ungal oor valiyai Spaniyaavukku poven
endru solugirar. And I know, listen to this, verse 29.
29th vasanathil paarunga,
I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ.
நான் உங்களிடத்தில் வரும்போது கிறிஸ்துவின் சுவிசேஷத்தின் சம்பூர்ணமான ஆசீர்வாதத்தோட வருவேன் என்று அறிந்திருக்கிறேன்.
How could he say that?
அது எப்படி சொல்ல முடியும்?
How could he be so sure?
எப்படி அவர் நிச்சயத்தோடு சொல்றார்?
Faith.
விசுவாசம்.
I believe that God wants to bless the Christians in Rome.
ரோமாபுரியில் உள்ள கிறிஸ்தவர்களை தேவன் ஆசீர்வதிக்க விரும்புகிறார் என்று அறிந்திருக்கிறேன்.
And if he sends me there,
என்னை அவர் அங்கே அனுப்பினார்,
I am absolutely sure he's going to bless them.
அவர் அவர்களை ஆசீர்வதிப்பார் என்று சொல்லி முற்றிலுமாக நிச்சயித்திருக்கிறேன்.
That's how we should go into any ministry.
இப்படித்தான் நாம் எந்த ஊழியத்திற்கானாலும் போக வேண்டும்.
If your conscience is clear,
உங்கள் மனசாட்சி தூய்மையாக இருக்குமா,
you can be absolutely sure that the blessing of God will flow through you.
கர்த்தருடைய ஆசீர்வாதம் உங்கள் மூலமாய் நிரம்பி வழியும் என்பதை நீங்கள் நிச்சயித்திருக்கலாம்.
Because the river of God is full of water.
தேவன் நதி தண்ணீரால் நிரம்பி இருக்கிறது.
No shortage with him.
அவரிடத்தில் குறை ஒன்றுமில்லை.
We are not called to produce anything, we are only called to distribute.
நாம் எதையும் உண்டாக்கி கொடுக்க முடியாது அழைக்கப்படவில்லை, நாம் பகிர்ந்து கொடுக்க முடியாது அழைக்கப்பட்டிருக்கிறோம்.
We are like these water carriers.
தண்ணீர் எடுத்து செல்லுகிற லாரிகள் போல.
Like you see these, there are lorries now that carry water into places where there's no water.
தண்ணீர் இல்லாத இடங்களில் தண்ணீர் கொடுக்க முடியாது தண்ணீர் லாரி போகிறது.
We had to get some yesterday.
நேற்று தினத்தில் நாம் தண்ணீரை வாங்க வேண்டியிருந்தது.
Now they didn't produce the water.
அவர்கள் தண்ணீரை தாங்களாக உண்டாக்கவில்லை.
God produces water. All the water in the world is produced by God.
உலகத்திலே காணப்படும் எல்லா நீரும் தேவனாலே சிருஷ்டிக்கப்பட்டது.
They only distribute it.
இவர்கள் அதை விநியோகிக்கிறார்கள்.
The river of God is full of water.
தேவ நதி தண்ணீரால் நிரம்பி.
We don't have to produce it.
நாம் அதை உண்டாக்க
தேவையில்லை. We're called to just let it flow through us.
அது நம் மூலமாக பாய்ந்து செல்லட்டும் என்று அனுமதித்தார்.
What Jesus said, he who has faith in me.
என்னிடத்தில் விசுவாசமாய் இருக்கிறவன் உள்ளத்திலிருந்து.
He who has faith in me.
என்னிடத்தில் விசுவாசமாய் இருக்கிறவன்.
From his innermost being.
அவருடைய உள்ளத்திலிருந்து.
Rivers of living water will flow. It doesn't start there. No, it starts from the throne of God. Nothing good can start from my heart. It starts from the throne of God. Comes inside me. It never happened in the Old Testament. It just came on top of people in the Old Testament. But now it's different. It's going to come inside me and gush up like a well or a spring, and then it's just going to flow out. And it's just going to flow continuously because the river of God is full of water. And so Paul was absolutely convinced that wherever he went, he would go in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I believe it's God's will to bless that person. We must have that faith. Otherwise we can determine, we can study the word, we can do so many things. Without faith it is impossible to please God. So we need to open our heart and say, Lord, like you wrote faith into the heart of those disciples, write faith into my heart. So that's the purpose of preaching of the word. Because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ.
So,
the word of Christ is the New Testament particularly. And when we hear the word of Christ and we hear God speaking to us through it, faith is written in our heart. Faith is born. Christ died for me. Faith is born. And I am saved. So in the same way, those people are going to be blessed. God wants to bless them. Here I am, Lord. See, it says in Galatians chapter 3, why did Christ become a curse for us? Why did Christ die on the cross and take our sins? So that all the guilt of our sin will go. Okay, why did Christ become a curse for us? So that now onwards, the blessing of Abraham, Galatians 3:13 and 14. So that now onwards the blessing of Abraham might come to all the heathen people. Yeah, we are surrounded by heathen people. Now the blessing of Abraham through Christ has to come to all of them. So we can all receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
And
as I receive that promise of the Spirit, it's called here the blessing of Abraham. You know what the Lord told Abraham? Two things. Only two things, basically. In Genesis 12. I will bless you. You will be a blessing. That's what Paul believed. I believed. The promise of the Spirit will bless me and make me a blessing to all the families of the earth. That's what God told Abraham.
But
here it says that we can get it. It's for me. It's almost as though God called me by name and said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing to all the families of the earth.
And
for that purpose, I'm going to give you the promise of I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. So, what shall we believe? That God is going to make us a blessing to everybody we meet. We must believe that. Not look at our weakness and say, Lord, how can that be? I've got so many limitations. I don't know the Bible. There's a verse in Zechariah chapter 8. And verse 13. It's a lovely verse. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 13. In a nutshell, this is what that verse is saying. As you were a curse, now I will save you and you will become a blessing. See what it says? As you were in the past a curse. Don't you know the days when you were such a nuisance to people? It says now, I will make you a blessing. So don't be afraid. Let your hands be strong. We must come to God and believe that. You know, I take this example of two people who have made a mess of their life. Complete mess. Maybe they became believers and they fell backslid. They fell into a terrible state. And then after some years they repent. And they say, Lord, I made such a mess of my life, what can I do now? And there are two brothers like that. Both made a mess of their life. But one person has faith. One of these. As I was a curse, I'm going to be a blessing now. And his whole life is different from that time onwards. Because by his faith, he honored God. By his faith, he was saying, God, there's nothing impossible with you. The other person was saying, oh well, I made such a mess of my life. What can I do? Oh, I wish it were all different. And he spends all his days like that. And in the final day, when they both stand before God, this person gets such a surprise that the other fellow, whose life was probably a greater mess, became so useful to God. And he asked the Lord, how is that? I thought my life was a mess, but when I see the videotape of this fellow's life, it was a greater mess. How in the world did he become such a fantastic blessing the rest of his life? The Lord will say, my son, he just believed me. He believed that nothing is impossible with me. You never believed me. I tried my best to get you to believe me, but you wouldn't believe me. I would have done for you all that I did through him. But you tied my hands by your unbelief. It says Jesus could not do many mighty works in one place because of their unbelief. It may not be just having made a mess of our life. There could be other reasons. Oh Lord, I don't know the Bible so much. Well, there was another fellow who knew the Bible less than you who became a fantastic blessing. And you say, Lord, how is it? I thought you needed to know the Bible to be a blessing to other people.
No.
He trusted me. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That could even apply in cases of sickness. I don't have the complete answer to all the sicknesses in the world. And I'm not saying that everybody will be healed. But if the Bible is true, and I believe it is, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then it must be true that even today, he does not heal some people because of their unbelief. Because in those days it was like that. See, in those days he didn't heal everybody. Have you read John chapter 5? In Bethesda there was a multitude, the word is multitude of sick people. It was like a large 500 bed hospital. He walked in, healed one person, went out. Who said he healed everybody? Same thing today. He goes to some places, 500 sick people, heals one person, goes away.
And
in the last part of Matthew 13 it says he could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. See, whenever I'm sick or my family, anybody is sick, for many years I've taken this position. I said, Lord, if you're disciplining me, I'm ready to accept it. Teach me what it is and I will get rid of it in my life. If this sickness is a spanking, I want to learn. If this is a thorn in the flesh that I have to have all my life in order to remain humble, I accept it because I know your grace is sufficient for me. But if I am not healed because of unbelief, that I don't want. I am going to trust you. You are a loving Father. You will never give me anything without a purpose. Impossible. You will not allow the devil to touch me in any way. I am the apple of your eye. The hairs on my head are numbered. I trust you to bring healing into my life. I want a foretaste of the resurrection life of Jesus. There are men, I'll give you my personal testimony. There are different situations in different places where, particularly as I grow older, I find myself a bit tired. In a conference or something like that. And I'll tell you what I pray. I say, Lord, one day I'm going to have the full resurrection life of Jesus in this body. I know I can't have it now. But I want you to give me a teaspoon of that right now. Just a taste of it. That's enough. And many, many times I've experienced it. You say faith has to come from the Word of God. Is there a Word of God for this? I'm glad you asked me. Hebrews chapter 6. It says there about people who, verse 5, have had a taste of the powers of the age to come. This is a description of born again people. They repent, verse 6. Verse 1 and 2, it says they repent and they have faith in God. And they take baptism. They take baptism, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it describes these people. They've been enlightened. They got light. They've tasted of the heavenly gift. They've made partakers of the Holy Spirit. These are born again people. They have tasted the good word of God. And they have tasted a little bit of the powers of that future age. Do you believe that in your earthly life you're supposed to have a little taste of the powers of the future age? No, I can't worship like the angels today, but I say, Lord, a little taste of it, I want it. Okay, even 2 teaspoons may be too much, put a drop on my tongue. A drop will overwhelm me. Believe it. Say like that woman who's had an issue of blood, if I touch him, I'll be healed. My brothers, we are probably missing many things in our life because we don't believe. Things that God wants to give us. And when we don't have it, we are probably depriving people in our churches of it also. Ask God, according to these verses, Lord, some of these things I've experienced. I made a partaker of the Holy Spirit. I've tasted the good word of God. But Lord, this thing in verse 5, a taste of the powers of the age to come, I never seem to have experienced anything of that in my life. So can you give me a little taste of that? At least a drop? I want it. I need it. Let's ask God. He's our Father. Jesus wants to write faith in our heart that you got a loving Father in heaven. And He looks in compassion on you even though you have failed Him. I believe this. I don't know whether you have faith for it. I have faith for it. That even the blunders and stupid things and the sins I committed in my life, God can turn it around and use it for something good in my life.
Now,
to have faith that God will bless me because I read the Bible and I fasted and prayed and all, that's easy. But to have faith that it's Almighty God can even turn the blunders and sins and stupid things I did in my life for my good. You don't believe that? I believe it. And I've experienced it. My brothers and sisters, my dear brothers, let me encourage you in this. To believe that even the stupidities you did in your past life, God can turn for good in your life. For example, one of the good things it can turn it in your life, it can make you fantastically merciful to other people. Isn't that a good thing? I have seen people who have not, from childhood they were brought up in a very good way. Praise God for that. Praise God. That's the best way to grow up. Undoubtedly. That's the way Jesus grew up. But not everybody had the good fortune to grow up like that. Some people grew up, then my life was a mess. Paul says he was the chief of sinners. I don't know what all sins he committed in his life. I don't know what all he did in his younger days. But God turned it for good. And some of these people who brought up in such good ways, I've seen some of them grow up and they are so hard on believers who have sinned. Why? Because they've never fallen so deeply. They had the good fortune of growing up in a good way. And they are some of the biggest legalists and Pharisees I've seen in my life. That sometimes I've looked at some of these people and secretly said to myself, I wish they had sinned some more. That's a horrible thing to say, right? I say, if it had brought some mercy into their life, it would have been good. That's not the only way. Jesus never sinned and he was the most merciful of all. That's the best way. But we are such fallen creatures. We have a certain tendencies in our life. You all know a tremendous tendency to lust after women from the teenage years. Doesn't go away even after we are married. It doesn't go away. It's a tremendous tendency. Fight it. Another is a tendency to get angry and irritated with people. To get impatient with people. It's inside us. A tremendous lust towards money and comfortable life. It's in all of us. Because we recognize these things, we fight them. Here's another thing you need to recognize. A tremendous tendency to judge others and to justify ourselves. Like we heard earlier today, I thought of that when we Santosh quoted Job 32. I was looking at that this evening and I saw something there which I hadn't seen before. It says in the end of chapter 31 of Job, the words of Job are ended. Job saying, okay, I've finished. I've got nothing more to say. And then it says, those other three people also said, chapter 32:1, we've also finished. And like we heard, God did not say a word until these four fellows said, stop speaking. Though Job was justifying himself, he has to stop. The other was criticizing all the others, that also had to stop. And I thought about that. Like it says in verse 2, one justified himself and the other condemned the others. Verse 3. And God waited. Let all this self-justification stop. Let all this condemning others, criticizing others stop. Then I will speak to him. Do you know why God's not speaking to you? Do you understand now? He's waiting. He can wait for 36 chapters, he can wait for 360 chapters. If it is written in Job chapter 2, the words of Job are ended, the book of Job would have been a very thin book. Chapter 3, God would have spoken to me in the end of the matter. What's he waiting for in your life? For this sentence to be written over your life, your self-justification is ended. Your condemnation of others has today on the 29th of December 2005, it has ended. You're cursing the darkness around you in this group, that person, the other person, the other person, it's all ended. And your imagination of yourself like, Job, I am a good brother, I'm not one of those fallen elders and I've lived such a good life from childhood, that's also ended. You'll be amazed how quickly God speaks. And when God speaks to you, your face will lighten up. Wisdom will come, it will cause your face to beam like we read in Ecclesiastes. And you'll have something to give to other people. When God speaks to you. Did you hear now where, how God, what God is waiting for? Think about that. So what shall we do? We read that Paul said in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. He says, he talks about the gospel of the grace of God in verse
24.
What was this gospel that he preached everywhere? He says in verse 21, whether it is Jews or Greeks or Indians or Malayalis or Tamils or anybody in the world, there's only two things, repentance and faith. That's all we need. You think that's only for unbelievers? I showed you right up until now, the last 45 minutes, that believers need faith. Now I want to ask you, do believers need repentance? What is the Lord's message to the seven churches? To five of them that had failed. Matthew chapter 4, it says Jesus after his baptism began to preach saying, repent for the kingdom of God is near. He ran with that baton in his hand. It's like a relay race. Repent, repent. Believe. The kingdom of God is near. He handed it to Peter. Ascended to heaven. Peter ran with that. From the day of Pentecost. Repent, repent, believe. Paul got it. He went around with that. Through the generations. Many people have dropped the baton. But in every generation, God has had a few who've taken that baton and run. Say, repent. Believe. Trust God. And Jesus ends in the book of Revelation with the same message. To church after church after church. Repent. And I believe that if we want to exercise faith properly, our heart must be clean. See, it says here in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. In chapter 1. Verse 19. Keep faith and a good conscience. The only way to keep a good conscience is by repentance.
நன்மனசாட்சியை காத்துக் கொள்வதற்கு ஒரே வழி மனம் திரும்புவதன் மூலமாக.
So he's saying, always Timothy, always have faith and repentance in your life.
திமோத்தேயு எப்பொழுதுமே உன்னுடைய வாழ்க்கையிலே நன்மனசாட்சி விசுவாசம் வைத்துக் கொள்.
Some have been careless and rejected a good conscience.
நன்மனசாட்சி சிலர் கவனக்குறைவாக இருந்து அதை தள்ளிவிட்டார்கள்.
And they suffered shipwreck of their faith.
அதனாலே தங்களுடைய விசுவாசமாகிய கப்பலை சேதப்படுத்தினார்கள்.
Ship called faith was destroyed.
விசுவாசம் என்கிற கப்பல் அது சேதப்பட்டு விட்டது.
Because they didn't keep a good conscience.
ஏனென்றால் ஒரு நல்ல மனசாட்சியை வைத்து காத்துக்கொள்ளவில்லை.
They didn't live in repentance.
மனந்திரும்பவில்லை, அவர் வாழவில்லை.
I'll tell you one of the saddest experiences that I have had in our churches during the last 20 25 years of conferences.
கடந்த 20 25 ஆண்டுகளாக நடந்த கான்ஃபரன்ஸ் கூட்டங்களிலே எனக்கு இருந்த துக்கமான அனுபவத்தை சொல்கிறேன்.
We've had some powerful messages come from heaven.
பரலோகத்திலிருந்து வல்லமையான செய்திகள் வந்திருக்கிறது.
Through the years.
எத்தனை ஆண்டுகளாக.
And I have seen some elder brothers, it has never gone to their heart that God's word was for them.
இது தேவனுடைய அவர்களுக்கென்று தேவனுடைய வார்த்தையாக ஒரு சில மூப்பர்களுக்கு அது உள்ளே செல்லவே இல்லை.
And they have remained unchanged.
மாறாமல் அப்படியே இருந்திருக்கிறார்கள்.
And they don't have light on themselves.
தங்களை குறித்து வெளிச்சம் பராமல் இருக்கிறார்கள்.
They always think that's for somebody else.
இது எப்பொழுதுமே மற்றவர்களுக்கென்று எழுகிறார்கள்.
And that's brought me to the conclusion that one of the marks of greatest marks of God's blessing on our life is that he gives us light on ourselves.
இதன் அடிப்படையில் நான் ஒரு முடிவுக்கு வந்த என்னவென்றால் தேவனுடைய ஆசீர்வாதத்தின் மிகப்பெரிய அடையாளம் நம்மில் நாமே வெளிச்சம் பெறுவது.
I've seen that, my brothers.
சகோதரரே, நான் அதை பார்த்தேன்.
I'm not here to judge you.
நான் இங்கே உங்களை நியாயப்படுத்துவேன்.
Oh, the Holy Spirit must show you your need. But I believe God has been trying to speak to some of you for many years. And I'll tell you, he has not succeeded. You can reject my words if you like. But if you think that's for you, better listen. I hope I'm wrong.
நான் தவறாக இருந்துவிட்டால் நலமா இருக்குமே என்று எண்ணுகிறேன்.
I am not God.
என்றால் நான் தேவன் அல்ல.
But I have a fear that I am right.
நான் சொல்லுகிறது உண்மையா இருக்குமோ என்று ஒரு பயம் எனக்கு இருக்கிறது.
That there are people who have not responded to what they have heard for many years.
அநேக ஆண்டுகளாக
They have not elder brothers who have not gone on their face before God in repentance and brokenness with weeping and mourning before God. Let me give you my testimony. I do it all the time. My life has become one of continuous repentance.
என்னுடைய வாழ்க்கையானது தொடர்ந்து மனம் திரும்புகிற ஒரு வாழ்க்கையாக மாறிவிட்டது.
I wept last night.
கடந்த இரவு அழுதேன்.
Night before.
அந்த இரவு
God,
முந்தின நாள் இரவு.
I've got to do it better.
ஆண்டவரே, நான் இன்னும் மேன்மையாக செய்ய வேண்டும்.
I find myself in such terrific need all the time.
எல்லா நேரங்களிலும் இப்படிப்பட்ட பெரிய தேவை இருக்கிறது நான் உணர்கிறேன்.
Because I know God has got something to do through me in this land.
இந்த தேசத்தில் என் மூலமாக தேவன்
என்ன செய்ய வேண்டும் என்று நான் somehow there's a limitation.
ஆண்டவரே, ஏதோ ஒரு வரம்பு இருக்கிறதே.
I don't know what it is.
என்ன அது தெரியவில்லை ஆண்டவரே.
Lord have mercy on me.
ஆண்டவரே, எனக்கு தயாராயிரும்.
For the sake of India,
India desu,
for the sake of your church,
do
you have a burden like that? It's not only for me, it's for you. God wants to do something through you, my brother. He didn't call you here just to get a photograph. He called you here to repent and believe in him.
நீங்கள் மனம் திரும்பி அவர்களை விசுவாசிக்க முடிய அழைத்திருக்கிறாரே, இங்க வந்து போட்டோ எடுத்துக்கொண்டு செல்வதற்காக அல்ல.
No.
இல்லை.
He wants you to repent.
நீங்கள் மனம் திரும்ப முடிய விரும்புகிறார்.
Of everything that he's been speaking to you.
அவர் பேசின சகல காரியங்களிலேயே மனதில்
Say, Lord, I want to hear what you're trying to say to me. I don't want a single hindrance to block that channel. The river of God is full. Let it flow through me. My words are finished for today anyway. Let's pray. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.